Blog Talk Radio.
Rivetti, what's up?
I'm sorry, sir. It's just a difference of opinion that got out of hand.
What about?
It's really too silly to talk about, sir. I'd rather just forget about it.
I don't give a damn about what you'd rather forget about. Why were you two fighting?
Well, I said that the Kirby Silver Surfer was the only real Silver Surfer, and that the Mobius Silver Surfer was shit. And Benefield's a big Mobius fan, and things got out of hand. I pushed him, he pushed me. I lost my head, sir. I'm sorry.
Rivetti, you're a supervisor. You can get a commission like that.
I know it, sir. You're 100% right. It's never happened again.
It better not happen again. I see this kind of nonsense, I'm going to write you up. You understand? Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You have to set an example even in the face of stupidity. Now, everybody that reads comic books knows that Kirby Silver Surfer is the only true Silver Surfer. Now, am I right or wrong?
You're right, sir.
All right. Get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane.
No, it's Max, Darryl, and D-Bert, your host for the Comic Shop Show.
It's about that time, folks. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Grindhouse. You know, we have a double feature oral broadcast, folks. This is the Comic Shop at 6 p.m. and, of course, Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk at 7 p.m. Incidentally, folks, it appears we're getting a call out by many of our supporters that we should do more of those mashup shows. I'm thinking that we will do a mashup show at minimum, perhaps once a month where we blur the lines between the Comic Shop and Afternoon Radio. We invite Daryl B because many folks are talking and telling us that they really love Daryl B's input. So at a minimum, once a month, we'll play it by ear, but it is a pretty good program when we do it that way. But this is the Comic Shop. Let's go to a quick nerdcore groove. And when we get back, we've got a lot to talk about. The call-in number, by the way, folks, the water is warm, 646-915-20. Again, 646-915-9620. This is Gotham Is. Gotham Is by Dr. Awkward. Be right back. Oh, in about 2 minutes.
In a dark night, sparks, bites, a bat on a silent wing with a harsh bite. Forged from the earliest of tragedies of watching the corruption of the city kill his family. And at a young age, he's faced with a decision, confronts a situation that places his position. And any man would understand if he packed his bags and left the streets there abandoned. But not him, this man was different. And he could always see the hope in the distance. A fast climb, but he opened his eyes to realize that he could almost see the change in horizon. So he kept on to never be defeated. The hero we deserve, not the hero that we needed. And if you went back to that fateful day and asked the kid, he'd say, tomorrow's just a dream away. Is it family or purpose? Is it hell? Is it worse? Gotham is. Is it home? Is it perfect? Is it damned? Is it cursed? Gotham is. Is it progress? Change? Is it a losing game? Gotham is. The future, and ask Bruce Wayne, he'll say tomorrow's just a dream away. They say the night is always darkest when it's just before the dawn, but every night he prays the darkness as to catalyze a calm. A watchful protector, the brave and the bold, shepherd to the lost, a flame in the cold. Was he the hope? No, but he was hopeful. People of the city learned to stand on their own. So he would lead the way and show them that tomorrow's just a dream away. With bold plans of a brand new Gotham, to rise above it, it starts at the bottom. Rebuild the derelict and expunge the rancid, with expansive plans and to modernize transit.
darkness fell, he knew they could beat it. The people all along were the heroes that they needed. And if you found the bat today, ask the man, he'd say, tomorrow's just a dream away. Is it family or purpose? Is it hell? Is it worse? Gotham is. Is it home? Is it perfect? Is it damned? Is it cursed? Gotham is. Is it progress or change? Is it a losing game? Gotham is. The future, an absolute wane. He'll say tomorrow's just a dream away.
All right. Once again, that was Dr. Awkward, Gotham Is. Folks, if you haven't realized, this is exactly why conventional radio is losing, because there's so many different art forms, so many different artists. There's a lot going on the Internet, and yet the mainstream media, the mainstream folks, they consistently ignore it. But that was a pretty hot jam, considering it was a nerdcore jam, folks. Anyway, without further ado, let's get to our own podcast enterprise crew. First up, the captain. Captain, you're needed in engineering.
Shall we begin?
Yes, we shall. And, of course, we have the indestructible Daryl B.
You know, I was happier before this week, but too many things have let me down. Let's just jump into it.
Okay. I thought you were going to enlighten us.
Oh, hey, it's already on the net, but I'm severely disappointed in Brian Wood. You know, I'm disappointed that freaking the best man thing beat Outdoor Friday. Let's put it this way, I got rage enough for days, so let's just jump into the topic.
All right. I thought you were going to mention Kamau Bell, our fellow Afro nerd that canceled.
That's coming up later. That's coming up later. Trust me on
that. All right, we'll get into it. We mentioned it at length in the last Midweek in Review show on Thursday. Normally it's Wednesday, we had it on Thursday, Daryl, but I want you to dig in because Mr. Bell definitely was a focal point for our kind. The Afro-Nerds he was actually giving representation. Well, we'll get into it. All right, we spoke about this last week, and it seemed to not go away with this Marvel Netflix deal. So I wanted to expound on it a bit more, gentlemen, because what's coming out really is, well, what we nerds do. We start to unpack, then we start to reconfigure, we start to figure out, okay, who will we suggest, you know, as far as casting, how is this going to go down? There's been quite a few write-ups as to processes into what is this going to be like. Will this connect to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. world? Should it connect to S.H.I.E.L.D.? I mean, but, you know, we're talking about continuity issues, casting issues, temperament, comportment, believability. So things are coming out already as to how, from the nerd's perspective, how this is supposed to work out. So, Daryl, I want to pass the mic to you. What would you like to see, or what would be really necessary for you with these shows? What would you want to see individually with each show and collectively?
Well, you know me. I'm a continuity buff. I love when you could interconnect shows. I love where not only do you have your own identity, but you're able to show that there's a larger universe in stake. You know, I love that. There's some people, I don't want it to be so tied up. I like my show to be separate. Me, I love call-outs to previous shows, call-outs to things that happened in the same universe. You know, I love that sort of stuff. So looking at the Netflix plan and how it was reported, I was loving this. I'm still loving this. You know, and I want – in the same universe, let me just put it this way. In the same universe, you have – you know, feminine point of view to things that are going around. And Jessica Jones, you could have your brawler, like straight-up action flick, fight type. That would be the Luke Cage one. You could have your lore procedural, you know, your high drama. That would be the Daredevil. And you could have your bit of mystical, along with a side helping to kung fu and mythology. That would be Iron Fist. And then you blend them all in that Defender / Heroes for Hire type joint. I don't see the problem here. The fact that there are people complaining about this, what do you want? Wasn't this what we've complained about with DC, about their movies, how they say we can't do it? Wasn't this what we were complaining with Marvel when they really bring up blood and how stupid some of their stances is with Black Panther? Isn't this what we as fans want? I don't understand what fans want anymore. Honestly, you've complained about this for years. Now you're getting it and you're still complaining. Captain, just help me open my eyes here. I don't understand it.
Well, hold on. Before we go to the captain, hold on. Let's get a bit more specific as to what they're talking about. Now, I came up with this topic because of a Comics Alliance topic, or Comics Alliance blog posting, and it simply says, Netflix and Marvel, seven things we want to see. So I'm going to list the seven things that comic book fans collectively would want to see. Number one, a bigger universe. They want to see a bigger universe. Two, a richer universe. Three, a more diverse universe. Now, when they say more diverse, the first thing you see under there, of course, is why am I forgetting? The Iron Fist girlfriend, Daryl.
Misty Knight.
Yeah, Misty Knight. They want to see that. They want to see, I guess, another Alias. Like, you know, the Alias series from ABC. I guess they want to see, well, not even that. I guess Alias, the comic book of Jessica Jones, which was excellent, where she was a true detective. Kun Loon calling. So they're talking about the mysticism. They want to see, a mystical. Because so far, what's been said is that we've seen mythological, we've seen science fiction, all that kind of thing. But we have yet to see the mystical. Because when you talk about Iron Fist is very similar in a way to Doctor Strange. That type of imprint. So there's a lot of things that can impact. They want to see a hero for hire reference. Like, he is hero for hire, Luke Cage. And then they said, lastly, that if there's going to be a phase one for Marvel and Netflix, there should be a phase two. Guess who they point to for phase two in Netflix? The Punisher. Now, the Punisher would be really excellent for Netflix as far as grittiness and as far as it has low budget grit all over it. So going to the captain, with what Daryl has been lamenting, are the nerds fair in these requests?
Okay, based on what you have and what you put out there into the airwaves, it seems like the nerds and geeks more or less want comic books, different version of the comic book, interacting directly on screen, just how the comic books interact. That's more or less what they want. But now here's the problem. Sorry to rain on everybody's parade, because when the nerds and geeks do this, this is like talking about Calculus 3 and you haven't done Algebra 1 yet. You got to get Algebra 1 down first, right? Now, we know Marvel is very good at the theatrical level. We see that already. We see the movies already. Right now, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., presently, as far as I'm concerned, is garbage, okay? That's garbage. So right now, the first thing that you want to do via Netflix is put together a good series via Netflix. It has to be solid. It has to be solid. Then after you make that solid, then it's easy from that standpoint to start the cross universes. You see, it's real simple. It's step by step. But you first have to do it from a solid standpoint. Right now they have not shown outside of the theatrical level that they're solid. They have not. That's being truthful. So why are we, because I know that's what the geeks and nerds do. They like to do step 30 and say this is step 30 before we have step 3. That's what they like to do. But it sets you up for failure, and it messes with you emotionally when you do that. This is why I don't do it. I don't do it. I stay ahead of the curve. I look what's right in front of me. That's what has to be done. From a theatrical standpoint, Marvel has it. But from what they have shown, once they get off from the theatrical standpoint, they're not doing it. They're not doing it. So you have to get that down first. Then we can mix up everything. Then it should be easy at that given point. You put diverse characters. Of course, we want to see Luke Cage. We want to see Black Panther. You could get a few Asian characters. Mix it all up. But the main thing is to get the series down, and it has to be solid. It doesn't even have to be great. It has to be solid. Let it be solid. Then we can go from there. That's all I'm saying. Back to you, Seraphim Nerd.
Yeah, and there's another thing here, too. Already, you know, we have folks, you know, it was one thing to talk about what we want to see as far as aesthetics, as far as a vibe with these shows. But also, they're talking about just straight-up casting. So just out of curiosity, I was looking at IGN.com. Again, folks, IGN. And they were throwing out some names. Now, you know, they threw out The Rock Johnson, but he's far too big to be on a Netflix deal. That's not going to happen. But I've seen crazier things, but no, I don't see him doing it. But we do see, but they're putting out there Michael Jai White, who has the physique and the acting chops to pull this off. Even him, I'm not sure if he would do it, but it's a consideration. And Isaiah Mustafa, who some may not know this gentleman by his name, but they know him from the Old Spice commercials. He pretty much revitalized the Old Spice thing. A former football player. And also this guy, Cage, he's familiar. I believe he's a side geek. He's a side geek, side nerd. He put together a rather impressive reel of himself as Luke Cage. It was pretty funky, I thought. I would like to see the guy get some work, personally. I don't know if he necessarily has the grit. Because, you know, with Luke Cage is essentially a blue-collar guy. You know, he went from being a blaxploitation kind of a stereotype. But because of today's sensibilities, thankfully, because of today's sensibilities, we're not going. Hopefully we will not see some blaxploitation thing, although I would suspect he will say Sweet Christmas. He might exclaim Sweet Christmas. We may see that. Regardless, we need a blue-collar type of guy. Terry Crews' name has come up. Again, physically impressive guy. Rampage Jackson, we know him. I don't know, maybe Rampage. I'm not sure, but I'm intrigued by who they're coming up with some of these folks to portray. Even on Iron Fist, the gentleman that played Green Arrow, the first Green Arrow in the Smallville series, they're looking at him, one of the names that might come up as Iron Fist. I can kind of sort of see him as Iron Fist. This is not playing a superhero. So that might be interesting. So we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot to unpack here. Even Jessica Jones, Eliza Dushku, she's kind of fetching. I mean, hey, I like her. I liked her for Catwoman in the animated thing. So I just hope that they do this the right way. But I would have a hard time, and this is something I want to go into before we go to a quick break. What about the cohesiveness with this work and S.H.I.E.L.D.? Now, S.H.I.E.L.D., believe it or not, I've been reading write-ups on this thing, gentlemen. S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to be around for a while. Disney, the discouraged with what S.H.I.E.L.D. is bringing to the table. Even though I'm a little, you know, it's really not, it doesn't really have any bones to me, any grit to me, not really what I would want to see. But Disney is not dissatisfied. Even though the numbers were going down, it's still getting enough viewers to warrant its existence. And it's getting the key demographic, men between 18 and 49. That's the key demographic they want to see this thing. So when it comes down to bare bones numbers and dollars and cents, we might see another season out of this thing. It's not as bad, I guess, from a financial aspect, which is interesting. Then, from what I've been hearing, they're not dissatisfied. So before we go to a break, Darryl, do you foresee this whole Defenders thing? There's got to be – can we see Clark Gregg do a walk-on on a Netflix series? I mean, it seems almost necessary.
Sure, we can see it. The problem is with Hollywood and all of these contracts and all of that, see Fox and Marvel. You know, see Fox and Disney, in other words. See how that whole thing comes up? Who owns Netflix? I don't even know who owns Netflix. Then you got to ask, what is their relationship with Disney? Do they have a adversarial relationship? Do they have a cooperative relationship? Before you can ask, can we see a switchover, you got to look back and see who owns Netflix and see if there's any problems between them and Disney in the past, you know? Because if there's a problem, then you're never going to see a crossover type thing, all right? Hey. For my bones, the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was the best one yet, all right, with Veronica Hand, with Jasper Sitwell, with a variation of the Moses Magnum earthquake device. I loved all of that. That's what they should have started out with. You get to see a bigger thing with the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, so you got a bigger scope. They gave you an actual bigger scope, all right? These shows on Netflix, if they could capture that right away, you're in Hell's Kitchen, but you get a sense of a bigger universe, then my fellow nerds and geeks should be satiated. As long as the writing's correct, as long as it doesn't look too cheesy. The problem is, and this is what I was railing against, okay, and on paper, it seems like they're giving you what you wanted, what you've been crying. That's been the problem with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They've been giving you that right here. It's a while until it gets created, and there's people already backlashing against it. That's why I ask, what do we want? Because even when it seems like we're getting it, even when it seems we're doing a better job than the other major company and giving it to you, you're still angry. What is the problem? Can somebody explain it to me? Because you saw the comment section with those seven things we want, and I look at some of those guys like, then listen, stop looking at TV, stop collecting comics, because it's obvious you're only collecting it to just cause problems.
Because
on the surface, this is all what we want. Back to you, Effner.
All right, I will say this much, that at least Hand did look like how she's supposed to look. You know, she had that red streak in her hair. I mean, that's, you know, they are getting, this is what you just said. On the surface, this stuff is coming out the way it's supposed to come out. You're not really getting too much change up on some of what we expect to see. But having said that, you know, time will tell, ultimately. Time will tell. All right, let's go to a quick group. When we get back, I want to talk more about diversity, gentlemen. We're hearing that for Detective 27, which is an interesting number, by the way, Detective 27, in the new DC 52, that there's going to be a mild reference to an African-American Robin, a potential future allusion to a black Robin for Batman. And also, we failed to talk about this, the Muslim Ms. Marvel. We got to talk about that. So we're going to talk about more about this diversity initiative on the part of Marvel. We'll be right back, folks. This is The Comic Shop. Next up, more Nerdcore, of course. This is The Word Burglar called Destro. We'll be right back.
what you need? Got what you need? Got what you need? You can find me selling automatics to the melodramatic. They got the cash, I got a stash. It's a hell of a habit, well established in the practice of helping the masses blow up each other's stuff. I'm diplomatic, pragmatic, can't make a business out of acting nice. You're looking at the man who built the master bites, from satellites to plants that grow to massive heights. Got what you need, and I always get my asking price. This ain't a passive fight, keep me out your blasting sights. Less of course, you're prepared to get your asses wiped. That's just a fact of life, grew up in harm's way. And these wrist rockets aren't for cosplay. I am the arms race, amulet wearing, super inventor. I even helped create the Pentor, your mentor. Highly skilled tactician, you trying to take me out? Should have started practicing hundreds of years ago. I'll try and make it clearer so you can understand. You never ever met a fiercer foe. Look in the mirror, yo, that's beryllium steel. My family heirloom, worn with militant zeal. Ill super skilled as a villain for real. Got the public hating on me like I'm killing some seals. A brilliant heel, better stop spinning my wheels. Pick up the bill for my meal, and if you're willing to deal, call Destro. There's stake in the name. I invented putting snakes on a plane. Call Destro. Got what you need to knock them dead. From battle barges to infrared rocket. Call Destro. For nothing but the best, bro. We accept credit, cash and check. Call Destro. We never use old parts. And if I'm not around, ask for Voltar.
What you all the guns for? Doing jobs for bills. What you all the guns for?
Swamps of the Everglades, crossing me is the worst mistake you could ever make. Skeletons in my closet, attic full of ghosts. The baddest men alive, laugh at my jokes. Proud and noble with a whole lot of common sense and no tolerance for incompetence. Enjoy the finer things like fistfuls of dollars, luxury castles, wine, disco collars. And when it comes to women, there's no comparing this. The only man who's had Zarana and the Baroness. I'll take care of it, so I'm right here. Or my Iron Grenadiers, I'll have you crying in your beers. To be clear, put every last combatant in the past tense. We're making cash, cause I own all the patents. Military, armaments, research, syndicate. Means any war I'm in, I'm winning it. A little bit harsh? Yeah, you bet I'm hard. I got my own code, it starts with your credit card. You wanna win? You better be the highest bidder. Cause as it happens, my top client Slither. Super attack bat, mutant pack rat, souped up goons and platoons with backpacks. Atomic shrink rays, orbital tractor beams. I got it all for every kind of wacky scheme.
Call Destro.
Whether you're fueling rebel squadrons or looking to duel in the devil's cauldron.
Call Destro.
As long as they got the money, I'll incite unrest in unstable country.
Call Destro.
For nothing but the best, bro. We accept credit, cash and check.
Call Destro.
I'm not someone to put a mark on. You must have me confused with Darklon.
Doing jobs for bills, what cost to kill? What you think all the guns is for?
Making money.
Guns, guns.
You got what you need? Got what you need?
Guns, guns.
Got what you need? Got what you need?
You should have been practicing. Whoa. I'm sorry, folks. I'm a lyrical admirer, and that's nerdcore, mind you. Again, Word Burglar, Call Destro. The music is here. Even on a nerd tip, the geeks are bringing the lyrics to you. You better be practicing. What? All right. Back again. This is the Comic Shop. The call in the number. 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Changing things around a bit. Again, referencing Comics Alliance. And I would advise our listenership to check out comicsalliance.com. They had a piece discussing diversity. And the first thing that came up was this mild. Emphasis on the word mild reference to a Black Robin, perhaps some kind of future storyline, not part of regular canon. I don't think it's necessarily part of DC 52 canon, but the artist, Sean Murphy, you know him from Punk Rock Jesus and from The Wake, along with Scott Snyder, these two are going to develop this African-American Robin, at least for a skosh, in Detective Comics 27, which is an interesting note because the original Detective Comics 27 is the first appearance of Batman. So for this, I mean, I don't know if it's intentional or it's divine fate, but for this to be Detective Comics number 27 and for us to see an African-American wearing the Robin uniform, I find that fascinating. What are your thoughts on this, Daryl? Is this Much Ado About Nothing or what?
To me, it's Much Ado About Nothing, but as usual, you get that segment of nerds. No, it can't be. For me, hey, it's the first major Batman supporting character of color since Orpheus. And we all saw how Orpheus went down. You know, it's a long, long, long time coming. We just have to see the story. We have to see the story, and we have to see how this is going to play out. But I should say in print. You know, we've had Lucius Fox. You know, we've had Batwing, the two variations. One Lucius Fox, I forget who the other guy was, you know, where they were of color. But I'm talking about a serious cast member, even if it's a future Batman of color, like, you know, I can't wait to see it. You know, we got Carrie Kelly from the Dark Knight Returns series and now in the New 52, you know. But we've all bemoaned the fact that, hey, there's really no brothers. You know, there's no sisters as part of the Bat universe for years. We've said that. And then Lucius Fox got a heightened role thanks to Morgan Freeman off of the movies, you know, and translated into the comics. So time will tell if we see this. But you know what? Hey, again, like I said with the last segment, you get that segment that barks and female dogs, about they hear it and they go, oh, no, you can't have that. Folks, it's fantasy. Anything is supposed to be possible in this medium. The fact that you're losing your 2 cents over this just shows what you are. You know, that's what I say, simple. Right there, to the point. Cap, all yours, man.
Now, this is my question pertaining to this. Why are they losing their mind over this? Is it racism? Is it reverse racism? What is it? That's the question I pose.
I don't know. I don't know, Cap. I really don't know. They just lose it, you know?
Well, is everybody losing it? Because if you read this article, I'm going to read it for a moment. You're getting the impression that some people are kind of excited about this. And also, it's not... You know, Sean Murphy says clearly this is just an offshoot storyline. This is not part of the regular canon. So just as if there were an all-star line going to the audience, in comic book lore you have these alternate timelines, alternate storylines that can have a life of their own and still not conflict with the mainstream comic book universe. So just as Marvel has the Ultimate line of comics, for a time, DC had All-Star, which All-Star was, I think, analogous to Marvel's Ultimate line. So I don't know if this is exactly what it is, but let me read this from a Comics Alliance just to give further clarification. Again, so this is pretty cool. Artist Sean Murphy is working with longtime Batman writer Scott Snyder on a story for next year's Detective Comics number 27, a special 96-page book celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Dark Knight's first appearance in the 27th issue of the series' original volume in 1939. A character in that piece will be a new Robin who will be the first African-American to wear the iconic R badge. First black Robin, this is his quote from Murphy, first black Robin in Detective 27. From me and Scott Snyder, Murphy tweeted earlier today. He followed up with the above image captioned loose pencils of the first black Robin. There was much rejoicing. Then a couple of hours later, Murphy returned to Twitter saying, thanks everyone for your excitement about the new character. Just to clarify, this isn't an official new Robin. Snyder is set in an imaginary future. Sorry for the confusion. I should have been more clear. It is gratifying to see a young black man wearing the Robin costume, but an unhappy feeling to realize it's only happening for the first time in 2013. There have been numerous versions of Batman's Boy Wonder since the sidekick's introduction in 1940, but to the best of our knowledge, none of them have been black. Certainly none of the so-called in-continuity Robins, who have all been white heterosexual males, with the obvious exception of Stephanie Brown, a white woman, and Damian Wayne, who everybody but those of us with names like Corey seem to forget is of Middle Eastern descent. I didn't think about that. They did, of course, kill one of those white Robins, but three of four wasn't enough, so they had to bring him back to life. I guess we'll see if the Arabic Robin rates a resurrection. You know, I forgot about that. People fail to realize that Ra's al Ghul is Middle Eastern or Asian.
Yep.
When you go further into research, I only just realized that. But even the name, what does it mean? What does Ra's al Ghul mean, Daryl? It does mean something.
It does mean something. I can't tell it right now, but what I was talking about, he just explained. The people got so worked up over Twitter that he had to clarify, oh, this is a separate storyline. Oh, my God, it's not a continuity. Don't worry. Oh, God, I didn't mean to cause it. We were just fun at the concept. He had to come out and clarify it. He couldn't even tease it because people got so worked up on Twitter. That's what I'm talking about. For open-minded fans, we are ignoramuses sometimes. He just put it out there to create buzz, and people got pissed. Yeah, I told you guys, I had a lot of venom. It's going to come out.
Okay.
Yeah, it means demon's head. Demon's head. But it is an Arabic name, and that character is meant to be Arabic. So no one really dwelled on that, but... if you want to get into a technical thing, Damian Wayne was part Arabic. But that really wasn't focused on in the books.
No, because he was drawn like a little Bruce Wayne. So you couldn't see the Muslim influence there. You couldn't see the Middle Eastern influence because in all of his shots, he's drawn like a little Bruce Wayne. So you know what? Race didn't matter. He looks like him.
I see, just going to the chat room for a moment, they're still on Luke Cage, and they're talking about the casting of Luke Cage, and now some folks are getting into skin tone. Even we have our own issues within the black community.
They're getting into when I mentioned that
Luke Cage could be played I'm losing my memory, for Christ's sake.
Michael Jai White?
No, not Michael Jai White. Dwayne Johnson, The Rock.
Okay.
They're getting into, we thought that he's supposed to be a darker-skinned brother. Listen, even the comic books, they play around with skin tone with black folk. When you saw Terrence Howard as a Rhodey, and then you saw... the other actor, Don Cheadle. You're seeing a difference in complexion, but in comic books they go back and forth. I mean, you know, black is black. This is not like an Afro nerd topic, but I think when you're talking about an African American portraying something, it's different than an African. I'll put it that way. I don't know if we could see Terrence Howard as Black Panther. because he's not African. And there's a lot of darker-complected black men who are African-American who they may give the role to, but it may not be authentic. I think many people actually want an African to portray, if you're going to get that technical about it. But we've seen pictures. We saw a picture of Dwayne The Rock, and he kind of sort of looked like Luke Cage. But they need you to look a certain way. They can do what has to be done. But I'm not quibbling over the man's complexion. I mean, we'll know who he is if he were to play. I mean, is this that big a deal, Daryl? I mean, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. I just don't see it being a big deal in this case.
See also Halle Berry as Storm. See also Zoe Saldana. See also it. Listen, there's always going to be questions of this. You know, I just stop. My thing is, and it's a growing thing, is that even for me, who loves to criticize and hate on a whole bunch of things, you know, sometimes the hate gets to be too much. Sometimes, how about let's let the project happen? You know, it's like those fans outside waiting for a new video game system. You know, they line up. I'm here for a month. I can't wait to play. It's like haters line up to hate on something years in advance or months in advance before this thing comes out, just to say, I was the first one to hate on it. Why? 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 Don't you realize your negative feelings and connotations taint the product? Do you realize it? Like I said, Cap, someone's got to explain to me, why is this a good thing?
See, going into the chat room, it says, I'm seeing our friend Black Ronan. He says, Captain, it's racial prejudice. Good old American racial prejudice is stereotyping. Luke is a brown-skinned brother. then he also says Michael Jai White does not have the acting chops for the role. I have to disagree with that. I think that this role is part physical. Michael Jai White played Mike Tyson, I think, in his early part of his career. He was in Dark Knight. He's been all over the place. I think we really haven't gotten him. He was Spawn. We really haven't seen him in enough roles. How can I even put this? We need to see more of him to make that determination, I think. I think that Michael Jai White could pull off, I think, because if you want someone who's going to play kind of a street, earthy, blue-collar kind of guy, I think that Michael Jai White would actually be perfect for the role. I think.
Oh.
Can,
well,
can
hey.
I add something? Can I add something? Other than Iron Man and Superman, most of these superhero roles are about having the look. That's what it's really about. It's about having a look, and then you just fit the part. And they're only doing but so much acting. That's truth be told. Even if you look at Arrow, the TV series that most people love, thing is he really doing? You know, he's not a great actor. That guy's not a great actor, but it works. It totally works. Not taking anything from the series, it totally works. He's not a great actor.
Well, I just saw Arrow before we actually went on air, the last Arrow. I thought that guy is pretty good in the role. I mean, I know what you're saying, but I can't say that. I mean, listen, the material is not really – it's not commensurate for what one would consider to be Othello. Arrow's not Othello. It's not necessary to be Othello to be Arrow. But I thought, considering what he has to work with, I think that the actor – does a pretty decent job. I mean, as far as emoting, he shows emotion. I don't know, man. I think he's pretty good in that role. I mean, I know that's what you said, but I can't say that he's not. He matches up with what is required, I think, for a TV show.
I know you guys focus on that. What I focus on is Felicity's hot. The computer, his computer helper.
I know it is, yeah.
Right? Right? She's hot. Right? I'm getting guys like Michael Jai White as Bronze Tiger. I'm getting, like, a couple of weeks ago, the guys that were the League of Assassins that actually were A, Arabic, and B, added gravitas to the role. That's why I said that guy could easily be Ra's al Ghul, you know. And you know what? It's given me 40 to 45 minutes of good TV in an adventure slash sci-fi type way. And unlike the beginning of last season where we were like, what is their direction on this? It seems they found their direction and they're building on their mythology. That's what I want.
Can I add one thing from Quentin Tarantino? As Quentin Tarantino said, he said, listen, you don't need Denzel to play a superhero. You don't need that type of acting chops. You need to just look the part, and once you look the part, you automatically feel the person is acting so good. That's according to the great Quentin Tarantino. That's all. Let's get to the call.
All right. I'm maybe 75% of what you're saying. I still think you have to have some ability. You just can't look. There's a lot of people that look a certain way, but if they can't pull, like, you know, you got to have some. If you have a moderate ability, I will say that much. I don't think you should suck, but I think if you have moderate ability and a look, that should suffice.
There you go.
You have to have. That's what it is. But like sucking and looking apart is horrible. I will say that much. All right, let's go to the phones. 703, AfroNerd, this is the Comic Shop. Tell us what you think. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's me, Black Ronin.
Hey.
What's up, man? Nice to hear from you.
Okay, so I was talking about Michael Jai White playing Black Panther, not about Luke Cage. I think he'd make a good Cage, honestly.
Okay.
I think he has the look. I think he has the acting chop to play Luke Cage.
Okay.
I don't think he has the acting chop to play Black Panther. That was my point. Is it clear
enough?
I'm
about to say, because usually you and I have to give you props also. Thank you for sending us, not because of time constraints, I just thought of it now, but you send us a lot of information about what's happening on the black comic tip, the steampunk, not steampunk, ladies and gentlemen, the steampunk tip. So continue doing that, and next week I will definitely set aside some time to really unpack what you sent us, because we need to start to support and to highlight these projects that are African-American inspired on the pulp tip. We've got to support these people, because if not, we might as well just all go over the mountain and just call it a day. So I appreciate you really doing that.
Your show is a great platform to get that kind of information out to people, because a lot of people, I think, aren't getting that, because unless you look for it really on the web, or like for Sword and Soul, and then for Steampunk, and I think now Diesel Funk now. They got the new one called Diesel Funk now. These people are working on, they got books. A lot of them are working on graphic novels now. I think Steampunk, they got a movie. Some of the people down in Atlanta, they're working on the movie now. So, I mean, that's the only way to get that stuff out there, and then we can start getting some money into it and the quality up, you know. I mean, that's the only way. I mean, otherwise.
Well, now they have you on the phone. You know, I happen to see a trailer, I believe, on YouTube. That was a steampunk trailer, and it unpacked the whole notion that we really do not see people of color in these fantasy steampunk devices. That, you know, that, like, we're just non-existent, as if we're not able to dream and have creative pursuits like everybody else. And this steampunk thing, I thought was fascinating. It pretty much gave a Victorian sensibility with black folk involved.
Well, it also gives
a whole different dynamic.
Well, I mean, you know, also because the time period is all set. It's always set in, like, you know, typically the late 1800s, which is always, you know, post-Civil War, you know, post-Civil War time frame. So, of course, you know,
right,
you still have the fresh knowledge of, like, slavery and all that type of stuff. And, you know, I think a lot of white writers are probably afraid to approach it, you know. One, I think they probably want to ignore it to a degree. And then two, those who maybe were aware are a little afraid to do it. But from what I understand and what I'm learning a lot more about steampunk as well, is that, you know, you could do so many different things with it. I mean, you know, one of the guys, Balogun Ojitade, I mean, he was talking about how you can link into, you know, vampirism, you can link it into, you know, different types of technology like Tesla and all that type of stuff. I mean, there's so many different areas, you know, you can link it into. And it gives people of color a reason to dream. You know, help us explore our dreams. You know, from different time frames, not just modern times like we always see in all the movies that we complain about. You know, we see all the ghetto, hood stories and all that type of stuff. You know, it's like we have a lot fuller, richer history, and we can explore it more. You know, and it needs to be explored. Otherwise, the information will never get out there.
Well, people wanted to think that black folk weren't around during these integral periods of time in history. I mean, they found – I failed to mention this on one of our shows. I had intended to mention it. But they found bones of a black person in England that date back, I think, maybe 500 years ago. So we're talking about really maybe the 1500s, something like that. So you have a black man's bones found in medieval times or something to that effect, where one would think that black folks were not around then, per se.
Well, I mean, what people don't understand is we've been all over the world. I mean, we were the first people on the planet. I mean, that's the thing that people tend to forget as far as human evolution and people who are in denial about human evolution is that we were the first people on the planet. And everybody else pretty much comes from us, you know. And I don't want to get too racial with the whole thing, but, you know, white people, for the most part, when they start exploring the world, they start leaving, Europe and everything, and they start intermixing with – everywhere they went, they found black people. They went to Asia, they found black people. They went to India, they found black people. You know, everywhere they went, they found us, you know, or people with knowledge of us or statues of us because maybe we were there, a couple of thousand years before and all you have left is statues or, some ruins. And what do they see? What did all the statues look like, They were all black people. You know, they had black features, They had Negroid features. You know, they had full lips. The women had big hips, full breasts, the whole shebang, I mean, our body image and everything has been all around the planet. You know, whether you go to Southeast Asia or whether you go to parts of Europe and everything. So, I mean, that's more of an Afro-nerd discussion there. But, yeah.
I want to keep you on for a moment because I got about 7 minutes remaining.
Yeah.
I do want to dovetail on the diversity issue because we spoke about this Black Robin coming up for this anniversary issue of Detective 27. But what made the news recently also is this new Ms. Marvel that's going to be from Pakistan, that's going to be of Middle Eastern descent. Now we know that Carol Danvers, for the listening audience, is a white blonde female who has been Ms. Marvel for years, since the late 70s, early 80s, and then she became, and that within itself is kind of funny, that because of gender, people forgot that, she could be a captain also. So now she's Captain Marvel, so there is no Ms. Marvel. So now we have a woman of color by way of Pakistan that's I believe, is going to have shape-shifting powers, and she's going to be, and it's going to be spearheaded by a Middle Eastern writer. So this should be interesting. I'm definitely going to pick this up. I'm going to follow it. But what are your thoughts about this, these pockets of diversity? I'm never going to be satisfied. But we're seeing, we see someone highlighting this, and then these things soonly dissipate. You know, what happened to Baz? Baz, who was a very interesting character, a badass Lantern, and they put you up on a pedestal, and then all of a sudden you start to kind of go down. You kind of go in the back. You fade into the background. Cool suit, had a gun, and was a Green Lantern. What's going on? Is this the fate of Ms. Marvel as well? What are your thoughts? And Dad, I want to go to you. What are your thoughts about Ms. Marvel?
My thoughts are I've got to see the story, how it's in context and stuff, because people saw this article like, oh, my God, they're going to kill off Carol Danvers. And I'm like, no, Captain Marvel slated to go with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And if you read the article, this is a girl that idolized Carol Danvers as Ms. Marvel, idolized Captain Marvel. And then when she gets the powers, even though she's in a Pakistani-American household, which is very rigid. So you've got a Pakistani young female getting powers, and the first thing she's thinking, I'm going to be just like Ms. Marvel. I'm going to be just like Captain Marvel. That's how I want to use these powers. But now that comes into conflict with her society, with her parents, with the rigidity of her place. And I'm interested to see the social, how they tell this story. I hope it's given a chance, because we could look on the outside and say, that isn't what we're used to. But inside, the conflicts and the dilemma, aside from the superhero tales, will make for interesting stories. And you've got to see how this works. And I trust the writer, G. Willow Wilson. She's responsible for that fantastic Air series from Vertigo, something that we should highlight on this show also, a great anthology of stories, you know, and where it delves into people's personalities and how their mental state works under trying circumstances. And if you're if you're in a race that's oppressed, and you're a said oppressed part of that oppressed race, where, and just ask Pakistani females about how they're viewed, you know, inside their own culture and stuff, there is a lot of pressure that they have to go through. Now throw powers on top of that, this will make for interesting storytelling. I can't wait for issue one of this.
We got under 3 minutes remaining. I do want to mention something else also, still on the diversity thing, and also a hat tip. I might have mentioned this on Afro Radio, actually. Darryl, you might have noticed there was an exchange on last week's Sleepy Hollow that was quite insightful.
Oh, yeah.
And very interesting. Usually they would shy away from this kind of stuff, but now they're it makes for better programming when
Listen,
you just can't ignore that there's two black characters speaking to a gentleman, Ichabod Crane, who allegedly comes from the 18th century. If he's coming from 18th century America, when slavery was in full effect, and you had these founding fathers that were slave owners, they confronted him on that, and they had to teach him, and they threw out the whole thing. It was done very masterfully. So I'm pretty sure we'll see more of this, hopefully, as that show goes further, because it is a hit. Now, tomorrow and Monday, we're expecting to see Almost Human. Now, mind you, Almost Human, it's a black robot. It's a black robot. And the oddity, and I say in quotes, the oddity of a black person portraying an artificial human, it's really not that odd, because I've mentioned this on the show before, a real AI is black. We discussed this. For the audience, go to YouTube and put in Bina, B-I-N-A. Bina is, I think, the closest to an AI, and it's modeled after the maker's wife, who happens to be a black woman. So
Bina,
a true black AI, and mind you, the founder of Sirius, it gets even weirder, the founder of Sirius Radio, the founder of the technology, of satellite technology, is transgender, all right? It was a white dude who was married to this black woman. He is now a white female who's still married to this black woman with a multiracial child, and in honor of his wife, or whatever you call a transgender person, it is a spitting image of his wife, who is black. It is a black AI. Bina, B-I-N-A. So folks need to know. We can expect black robots, I think. Gentlemen, we have seconds remaining. Yes.
Hey, I'll just say next week's show we should get David Walker on to review Almost Human. Because after all,
yes.
Project 13, Kid Robot, I'd be interested to hear his takes on this.
All right, gentlemen, we got to go next door. Darryl, as always.
Spot for the beard.
We appreciate it.
Not.
Next door, Afro Radio.
after I could have got away on beef for you catching me. You remember that. You remember that all, eh? You killed me. You remember that. You killed me. Because like you just proved what the Peckerwoods say. We're just beasts. Willing to do anything. Kill each other. No mind. No feeling.
Shut up, nigger.
Leastwise, I ain't gonna die like you gonna die. Like a slave. I ain't giving no lifetime of misery and sweat to this Peckerwood. I'd rather die than be a slave. You Peckerwood. That's right. You Peckerwood was oppressed in your own land. We was free. And you brought us here. In chains. Well, now we here. And you just better know. This is just as much our land as it is yourn. And after you hang me, kiss my ass.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a locker.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, D-Bert, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Okay, folks, it's the second half. This is Afroner featuring Captain Kirk. Welcome, welcome, welcome. The call-in number, of course, is 646-915-9620, 646-915-9620. I think we're going to continue a little bit of what we discussed per the last show, the delayed midweek and review edition. Of course, we always, mostly, indubitably broadcast on Wednesdays, but last week we did it on Thursday. So anyway, without further ado, let's get to a quick urban alt groove. This is Holly Cook and Honey. Give you a taste of ska. We'll be back in a few moments, and again, let's groove.
We'll be right back.
Molly Cook, Milk and Honey. Folks, this is After Earth featuring Captain Kirk. And without further ado, let me get those words out, we must speak to the captain. Captain, it's your time. You're needed in the ready room this time. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Be careful when you're using Twitter. The thought police will get you. Be careful. Be very careful. Donovan McNabb said on Friday that NASCAR drivers are not athletes. Even though he did that on a TV show, he didn't tweet it. Twitter goes crazy. How could he say that? Keep your opinions to yourself. That being said, I agree with him. Too bad. I know there's people out there that love NASCAR, but I agree with him. Too bad, too bad, too bad. Let's start the show.
Well, you know, listen, Twitter is a problem for a lot of folks. You think of J.R. Smith from the Knicks. I mean, this is, you know, folks know I routinely defecate verbally on Generation Y. And one wonders why. Why? He spoke about some other player on Twitter or some threatening something. But the fact that either we're incredibly stupid or we are truly cyborgs where we can't control our thoughts. I mean, literally our thoughts are coming out of our heads and onto the computer screen. There's no thought process between what's in your head and what goes on Twitter, obviously. $25,000 fine because of this stuff. And this happens routinely. Between the Instagrams and the selfies and the Twitters and the Facebook, we spoke about a young man that's up on assault charges now. He shot two people. One is perhaps paralyzed over a jacket. And the feds, as he put it, were at his door. And he's tweeting this. He's tweeting what he did and who is after him in real time on Facebook, Captain. I mean,
nuts.
The lack of cognition, my favorite word, ladies and gentlemen, is stark. It's stark. This stuff, listen, we can talk about senseless crimes, but now they become even beyond senseless when a person is in the act of committing a crime and they incriminate themselves. There's got to be some kind of psychological component, or is this just low cognition? I mean, damn, hasn't anyone seen enough CSI, NCIS, Murder, She Wrote, to know that, you kind of sort of don't admit to anything? Let the evidence figure it out. But these folks, if you go to World Star Hip Hop, you go to Facebook, you go to Twitter, everything is laid out and bare. I don't know, Captain. I'm at a loss. All right. Quite a few things to discuss. I want to jump into something real quick because it's a tragic story. Once again, one would say it mirrors Trayvon Martin. This time it's further up north by way of Detroit, with a Ms. Renisha McBride. For those who are familiar with the story, Ms. McBride was allegedly seeking help after having gotten involved in a car accident. And she got into an accident in a predominantly white neighborhood, allegedly. And she was going from house to house, I think between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And she was on some person's porch, the perp's porch, and gets shot in the face and dies. He was not arrested right away, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to search for this Theodore Wafer. Theodore Wafer is in, he's in jail now. He's been formally charged with second-degree murder and manslaughter. But there was some time. They didn't, I mean, she was shot November 2nd. This is November 16th. So he was just formally charged yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, or the day before yesterday. So I want you to take lead on this, Captain, and then I'll tell you what. I don't think we can ever really know what happened, but folks know credibility is big with me. Not for me, but for you. Because if you haven't figured it out, you're a person of color living in America, and you need to do all you can do to be perceived as a credible person. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but Professor X hasn't used his powers to change people's mentalities. We haven't seen that yet. So until that happens, there's a certain perception that's been allotted to you, and you've got to fight that perception. And without further ado, let's go to the captain, but I'm going to mention a couple of things that I think may allow this person to walk, unfortunately. Captain, what are your thoughts about this, if you have any?
All right. Now, here's the situation. The teen had a 0.218 blood alcohol content when she was shot to death by the Michigan homeowner. Okay, let's war game it now. And the reason why I'm using that terminology, because it's war out here. So let's war game it. Now, you're going around in the nighttime, was it 2 o'clock in the morning, door to door. I'm inside my house. I have a shotgun. A woman is banging on my door. Let's say she is in a drunken stupor. Let me tell you what's supposed to happen. Obviously, it didn't happen. In my opinion. You have a shotgun. You're dealing with a woman. I could see the initial reaction if it's some 6'5", 300-pound black male at your door, and you're the only person in the house. It's not the case. You're dealing with a woman. And let's say she is in a drunken stupor. Let's add that in there. Probably not going double the legal limit, but let's just add that in there. Women have a tendency to get drunk more easily than men, so they say. So, in my opinion, what was supposed to happen, obviously this didn't happen, was that you call the police and let them sort it out. That's what's supposed to happen in that scenario. 911, I got some crazy woman banging on my door. Maybe she's going to break out my window. She hasn't done that as of yet. Maybe she did do that. We don't see that in the report. We don't see that in the article as of yet, but maybe she did. But you make the phone call, and you just bunker down. You don't have to brandish your weapon. Maybe she brandished a weapon. No, they didn't say that. If she had a weapon, we would have seen that. So you call the police, and you just relax. Relax. That's what was supposed to happen. Obviously, that did not happen. Now, we were not there. We only can go by what's presented in the article. Now, here's the other side of this now. You know, sometimes you have to wonder if black people are in a vacuum. Now, I have to go on the other side. The first side, obviously, he is wrong. He is wrong. That's what was supposed to happen based on the information that they gave to us. He is wrong. He should be arrested based on the information that was given to us. Now, let's go to the other side now. Black people, you know, life is not happening in a vacuum. Now, you're going out, you're partying. What part of you feels as a black person that you can go knock on doors 2, 3 o'clock in the morning in a white neighborhood or even in a black neighborhood? Now, it's not supposed to be that way. I know me when I was that age. I know myself when I was that age. My car broke down also. I had to walk 4 miles. because I wasn't going to knock on any doors. And in those days, we didn't have cell phones. You might have had a beeper, but you didn't carry a beeper because you didn't want to be called a drug dealer. So we didn't do that. You had to walk. Come back the next day, you figure it out. You wait till daybreak. Not knocking on anybody's doors. Because my mindset was, I am black. I'm not knocking on anybody's doors 2, 3 o'clock in the morning trying to get help. I'll figure it out. I'll get to the main road, and I'll keep walking. Now, of course, this was an accident. She got alcohol in her system. She might not be totally coherent. There's other factors going on. But now, here's the other side of it now. Before you even begin the party, if you realize life is not happening in a vacuum, and you realize who you are here in America as a black person, you have a tendency to move differently before the incident even happens. And that's big right there. That's big. You understand? The reality of this, the rules are different for us, people. The rules are different. Now, we could easily say if it was a white person, chances are this wouldn't happen. You know, it wouldn't happen. They can move a bit differently underneath the circumstance. We don't know that because it didn't happen with a white person. You know? Just something for you to think about. Now I'm going to hand it back over to Sir Afroner. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Cap. Folks, I've been easy on you. I have to make a confession. And folks will say, really? Yeah. I might have mentioned this before, Cap. I've listened to other podcasters, other YouTubers, who are far more blunt than I. And I would suspect they have their fair share of naysayers. They've agreed to take that hit. You have to have thick skin, which I perceive that I have, but you have to have thick skin to say certain things that may make folks uncomfortable. I mean, you see what's happening to Don Lemon, where you are ostracized. And this is just the thing. If you label yourself a black conservative or a black Republican, or just not even that. I mean, Dr. Cosby has gone through this kind of process when he spoke out truthfully about what he is seeing, truthfully. When he said when he was critiqued about the whole dirty laundry thing, he said that your laundry is exposed 3 o'clock when your children get out of school. You can't do that. So there's a young man who has a show called The Black Authority. Kudos to him, The Black Authority on YouTube. Of course, we've mentioned David Carroll. There are a few others, Tommy Sotomayor. There's always going to be areas where we disagree, and there's going to be other areas that we agree. I suspect that if they were to look at a graph as to what we agree, it's probably a large area where we intersect. And especially with Sotomayor, you know, he's a bit vulgar, you know, but that's his style, and I can't take that away from him. He seems to have a bugaboo about skin tone issues, mixed people that, light-skinned this, dark-skinned that. I don't play that game. That's a sick video game for lower-tier black people. You're black, you're black, you're black. You know, the larger society doesn't make these distinctions. This is something that goes back to the slave quarters. While the white man is in the mansion, he's on the plantation, the home of the plantation, he's giggling while the Negroes are arguing amongst themselves about these little superficial issues. So I choose not to go there. Anyway. But I'm going to be a bit more candid about how I really feel. First of all, I absolutely deplore death, obviously, of this kind. I mean, I'm not going to make light that this young woman was 19. She was young. She should not have died. I'm all about preparedness. I'm about honesty. And we have to start looking at things clearly so we can start saving some lives. And if you want to start saving some lives, that means you might have to be more righteous than right. Let me repeat that. If you want to start saving lives, you may have to, you may consider being more righteous than right. It should be right for a young woman, if she's in trouble, to go seeking for help. That's the right way. But the righteous way would be maybe make sure you are in a secure environment if you're going to drink. Maybe reconsider smoking weed, because they found marijuana in her system and they found alcohol in the system. And she's under the age of 21. That's on the alcohol tip. The marijuana thing, we haven't arrived there yet. That's in pockets as far as certain states allowing there to be marijuana usage. And even the states that do allow it, some of it is for medicinal purposes. And then like in Washington and in Colorado, there seems to be a carte blanche thing going on with marijuana usage. And even beyond that, marijuana still does not have that air of respectability. You can drink wine with kings and queens. I don't know if you can smoke a joint yet. I don't know if we've arrived there with that yet. But I think as black folk, male and females, you need to have your wits about you. Because you are dealing with racist white folk, and you're dealing with lower tier gormal, to take a word from gormless people of color that will kill you equally as fast. This is the reality. Detroit, it's bankrupt now, the city. Detroit has an extremely high crime rate. The chains in Detroit. So when you start hearing, I'm going to go there, when you hear someone named Renisha, I perceive to be somewhat of a big-bodied woman, not a waist. That factors into it as well. Big-bodied Renisha, with alcohol content and marijuana content in the system, banging on doors at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you are a stranger approaching people. We don't know you. Now, that doesn't give that man the right to shoot this woman, but we don't know her comportment on that porch. We don't. Now, I know that the forces, because this is a white male, the forces are ready. We know how this works. We've seen it before. If a man of color shot this woman, the notoriety wouldn't be there. The forces, the army, the black army wouldn't be ready to launch. But the black army is ready to launch. It is. Now, if we were this way with what's happening internally, I wouldn't say anything. Intraracially, I wouldn't say anything. But since this is an interracial matter, I see where this is going. Again, I would not wish death on a 90-year-old black woman just minding her own business. But when you – I hate to say this. Matter of fact, there's a documentary that is looking for funding. I don't think it's through Kickstarter. I think it's through another crowdfunding website. I might have tweeted this out or I might have mentioned it before. But there's some – YouTube trailer that's out. I think even on Sergio's Shadow and Act website. Again, I would advise our audience to check out Sergio Mims' Shadow and Act website, courtesy of IndieWire.com. IndieWire.com. I believe there's a documentary talking about this ghetto name situation and how even black folk are on camera being honest for a change and saying, The resonance of these names, they just don't bode well. I said this to the Oracle, the tangential producer of the show. I said this in jest years ago. Looking at a newspaper, I said, damn it, every one of these people with these names ends up dead. Jaquan, Raekwon, Lokeisha, Trikeisha. If you Google these names, you're not going to see – you're going to see – very rarely are you going to see excellence attached to these names. There's got to be something with that. So when I hear someone, Renisha, 4 o'clock in the morning, with marijuana in the system and alcohol in the system, your credibility starts to diminish, and it becomes a difficult road for you to travel in trying to really prove that something, that this man did have some kind of credence as it relates to protecting himself. Now, I, like the captain said, I believe this man has got to go. Got to go from the great Robin Harris. Got to go, got to go, got to go. People will think I'm talking in a twisted manner, but we've got to start. We've got to start talking to our black folk honestly to keep them alive, to cut this nonsense out. You have cell phones, ladies and gentlemen. You have OnStar. Don't you see the commercials? You get into an accident, you don't leave your car. You talk to some robot, well, really a live person, but you talk to OnStar. There's ways to get around this in the modern era. We can't keep on conducting ourselves like 1931. That's it. Listen, if I'm wrong, call me up. Maybe I'm looking at this in the wrong, some weird way, but I'm just trying to say, you know, I talked about the profiling thing. Our friend, I'm going to mention this one more time because I want people to tell me how am I looking at this in an odd manner. Somehow, as Don Lemon said, there's a nuance to this stop and frisk thing. We can talk about the illegality of it, but the crime rates, the statistics are not favorable. And when you Sally B., our friend for the Inner Sanctum, she is pursuing a computer science degree on her college campus. She picks up a flyer, and it's looking for support for stop and frisk, for people who are against stop and frisk. And it tells the people, for prospective participants, wear dark clothes, and wear your hoodies. When she shows me the police blotter in the same email, campus blotters of issues of criminal acts that have occurred on her campus, guess what? What am I missing here? Why? I talk about this incessantly, folks, because I'm the math is not coming up right. But I pray for Renisha. I pray for her. But we've got to tighten up our people, folks. We've got to tighten up. It can't be this simple. It can't be this simple. Captain?
Nothing more to add, nothing more to take away.
I guess I'm politically incorrect, but folks will probably tell me I have no feeling. No feeling.
No, you had feeling. You spent a minute and a half actually apologizing for what you were about to do. So you had plenty of feeling.
You know, what's the young man that was filing suit against Barney's? Trayon Christian. Not Trayvon,
yes.
But Trayon. In the YouTube clip, maybe if I find a YouTube clip, I'll post it in the chat room. The Black Authority, when he talks about Barney's, he went deeper than me. He said he thought that these two, the woman that's filing a claim against Barney's as well as Trayon, he thought they should have been arrested. And he said that Trayon, he said, here we go with another name that means nothing. That's what he said. He said a young man from a single-parent household who was given a name that doesn't mean anything. I said, whoa, I would have liked to have said that. You know? I'm glad to see that people are starting to talk more honestly. Because when I hear the name Renisha, I close, my mind gets closed. I'm sorry. It just does. It just means, and also, folks, put in her name, Renisha McBride, in Google Images. You'll see, this is how this works again, folks. This is not a typical media show. You put in her name, you'll see the stock photo that the media has given you, and then you'll see a photograph of her in a hood, in a hoodie, with glasses, looking a little bit like, what was that movie that Queen Latifah played years ago, where she played a gangster?
Set It Off.
Looked a little Set It Off-ish. I'm not making this up. Put in Renisha McBride in Google Images. You see her photograph that appears to be from some kind of high school graduation, not unlike Trayvon Martin's photograph that you saw when he was maybe 7 years before his death when he was a preteen playing football, looking cherubic, looking very stalwart, and looking very honorable. But then you could go to his Facebook page, oh, maybe a week or two before he died. You see a scully on, you see a middle finger, you see smoke wafting in the air, and you see a gun being touted. Doesn't mean he should die, certainly. But, Captain, there's a problem. There's a problem. We don't want to exude a straight up character. And when the character assassinate you, you've already given them the gun to do that for a character assassination. Let's stop making it so easy. That's all I have to say. Even though these people are wrong for shooting you, let's stop making it so easy for them to character assassinate you. Is that wrong? I'm confused. I'm confused, ladies and gentlemen. All right, listen. This is the second half of Afternoon featuring Captain Kirk. Of course, you know this is Grindhouse Saturdays. Always want to give you the best that we can. Let's go to a groove by Robert Glasper. Actually, I would advise our listenership to check out this album that's coming out. It's called Robert Glasper Black Radio 2. I think there's a Black Radio 1, and this is Robert Glasper Black Radio 2. So, without further ado, this is the Robert Glasper Experiment featuring Nora Jones. Let It Ride. We'll be right back. Let's groove.
I never been again in love. I feel the
Okay, we're back. Once again, folks, give me the best of urban alternative groove, black rock, afro-punk, psychedelic soul. It is what it is. That was the Robert Glasper Experiment featuring Norah Jones, Let It Ride. Definitely pick it up, Black Radio 2. But actually, the first one, Black Radio. Excellent. So the music is being made. I'm on repeat. This is an MP3 that's on repeat, ladies and gentlemen. As much as I lament and lambaste the current music state, or the current state of music, I should say, I have to retract it at times because I'm always finding new stuff. I mean, I have a lot of great music that I have yet to play still that conventional radio just doesn't want to do it. They perceive that, Miley Cyrus and Drake and Rihanna and all those guys, that they speak for the community, I guess. Or even Rihanna, even Miley got to throw in that now because her Ratchet Tour, she got to call it, her Ratchet Tour, which is imbued with lower tier black iconography, imagery, she's kind of wearing a ghetto costume and it's working. It's working. It's making her loads of money, Captain. The money, let it rain. And she still does her thing. It's still kind of country pop, but I don't get it. She's channeling a little bit of the lower tier thing, Captain. Still very white. What's up with that?
It's what they call the
big bone dancers.
It's what they call the quote-unquote decent white woman going trashy, you know? It's not really the thuggette white woman, which is a whole other thing. You know, you don't want any of those, you know? The be nasty version, you know? You don't want that. You don't want that.
Oh, yeah, well, she's real with it. This one we know is fantasizing. You know, be nasty will bring a real gangster on stage. So we'll see. You know, what was the cousin's name? Krayshawn?
Krayshawn, yeah.
They just disappeared. Her album would. And just disappeared. They hyped her up. She was written in so many magazines. And, you know, all this fake bravado, theoretically fake bravado, and no one bought into
it. Be Nasty.
And it went wood. And Be Nasty was defiant in her saying the N-word. She wasn't going to get that up. So... It is what it is. All right, going into a few more stories while we have the time, Captain. We never spoke about Pedro Quesada, Mr. Pedro Quesada. This story is another one of low cognition, I suspect. Now, for those who are unfamiliar with the name Pedro Quesada, man of color from the Dominican Republic who is across the bridge or across the tunnel, whichever way you see fit to traveling to see him, from where we are broadcasting. He's a New Jersey resident. We're in New York. He won $338 million in last year's lottery. I think it might have been Powerball. A game, $338 million. He took the lump sum package, so he came out with, I think, $157 million, which is still a hell of a lot of money. And now, within a year, he's claiming poverty. It is to laugh. It is to laugh. I mean... Wow. I don't know, Captain. What? What?
God damn. You got to be a stupid motherfucker to get fired on your day off.
Pardon the expletives,
I mean,
but
how the hell are you going to get fired on your day off?
You know,
I bet y'all drinking that wine too, ain't you? You're smoking them tweeds and everything. Wearing the old clothes all half off your ass. What the hell's going on today? Huh?
Weeds.
Oh.
I can't stop laughing.
I mean, whoa. I mean, this is, wow. Let's go through what's happened. Let's even go a little deeper into this story of low cognition. First of all, he was known to people. The captain and myself, the inner sanctum, believe it or not, we do play lottery on occasion. Well, actually, probably more frequently, but for the sake of this program, we played on occasion. And none of us, we all are in agreement that if we had a windfall like that, the lawyers intervene. The accountants intervene. We do not identify ourselves. That's number one. This guy was so happy to say, it's me. Look, it's me. I'm the guy. Look over here. I'm the guy. No. That's how it works. You're not going to know me. No, I'm sorry. First of all, especially from where he's from, your family could be in danger when someone finds out that a relative has won that much money. We've seen this game before, so you should not be so quick to identify yourself. So I knew we were already in for a trip with this Mr. Quesada when he first identified himself so clearly. Then you find out, then he says, I'm going to hook up the neighborhood. I'm going to pay for everybody's rent. I got you. It's that same old lower tier bravado stuff, Captain. I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. So I believe he's a bodega owner. So he's a business person already. You'd think he would know better. But he says all of his compatriots, he's got their rent covered. That's mistake number two. Then you find out, because the Post, they have a bugaboo about people of color. Any way that they can construe a person of color in a downtrodden way or put you in dire straits, they love to. I mean, the media in general loves to bring people down, but it seems to be especially black or brown folk that if they can put you in a certain light and then unfurl the covers and say, okay, this is what he's really working with, they love that. So a few weeks after everything quieted down, Captain, you find out he owes $20,000 in back child support. I don't know why that needs to be put out there, why we had to know that. What does that information do for me? What does that do for me? I mean, if he's worth millions, $20,000 really isn't a much. It's a drop in the bucket if you have $157 million after taxes. So they had to put that out there. The next story now is his girlfriend. Emphasis on girlfriend. He's not a wife, but his wifey. And when you use the term wifey, we know what that means too.
Ah, boy.
His wifey is suing him for the loot. Now, a case like this, when someone is not your wife, your spouse, that should be thrown out. Not for Mr. Quesada, not being thrown out. The judge is agreeing to listen to his girlfriend wanting his money. Why? Because also his business partner in the bodega, they raised children together, and they lived together for about 10 years. Still not a wife, though. Now, things have gotten so bad in black and brown communities when it comes down to, and we're going to, listen, folks, I don't want folks thinking I'm dumping on people because we have the anecdote segments, we have the blue area segments, but this time we got to talk about the dysfunctionalism. We've been riding this wifey deal for so long. Captain, we even have happy Father's Day cards for mothers. Hallmark has happy Father's Day cards for mothers. That's how bad it's gotten. So we've moved so far down that now they're going to give, it looks like they're going to give spousal rights to girlfriends. Think she might be entitled to something, but there should be a price to pay when you allow for this much time to pass and you're not married. There should be a penalty for that. You should not be given spousal rights when you're not a spouse. And business partners, now business partners get money too? We've seen people, business partners, if one of the business partners wins a lotto, the business partner doesn't get money. But somehow, his girlfriend's attorney is putting up a decent, plausible argument that the monies that were circulating in that house contributed to the purchase of that ticket, and therefore she's under the belief that she's entitled to half that man's money. But even beyond that, he's saying that the money's nowhere. It's not, you know, Edie's being ultra slick, but according to him, he doesn't even know where the money is right now. He said $57 million went to the Dominican Republic. He said $3 million was given away. And he said $20 million, he doesn't even know where it is. $20 million just poof in the air somewhere. And all I can think of is what would someone with the cognitive abilities of myself and the captain, and also our fellow players, Sally V, who is a computer science bachelor pursuing a degree in computer science, and as well we have another person who's an attorney on our team. I sincerely doubt that we would have $150-something million just miraculously go through our hands. We wouldn't know where it went. The more and more I think about coming into that kind of money, Captain, and I think I might have been told this to you before. You know, I have grandiose schemes also. Maybe my own Dr. Doom castle to look upon my lower tier subjects. I don't know. No, I don't know. But I do say my common sense gene kicks in and says, you know what? I want to play it like other folks play it, where you don't know I have this money. Keep it real humble. Real humble. Maybe a simple abode. Maybe a couple of vintage cars. That's it. That's it, Cal. I'm keeping real feng shui.
Can't forget the women with the nice toes. You got to have that. That goes without saying, right? That goes without saying.
Yes. Now, I don't. The problem, the quagmire I find myself in, is will I have a woman of color with nice toes in a 1963 split window Corvette? I don't know. I don't know if that's her thing. Being honest. I told the Oracle one day, when I first got my license many years ago, and I was whining about wanting to get a 65 Mustang, he said, you can get that car, but you ain't going to have a woman sitting in it.
That's strong right there. That's strong.
That's what he told me. He said, you can get that car, but they're going to look at it as an old car. You're not going to have a girl sitting in that car. So I never got that car. Although I do recollect a conversation with a Caucasian young lady a few years after that, and I just mentioned my love for cars before I could complete the sentence. She said, "Oh yeah," she said, "the fastback Mustang with the da da da." I said, "Yeah, you know about that car? Oh, I love that car." So I scratched my head. This is where I'm at. Now, mind you, a car like that, Cat, is worth as much or more than a new luxury car. Mm-hmm. But this is what you're dealing with. You got to find an enlightened woman of color who could understand that. But I'm going off on a tangent. Bottom line is, this man stinks. Low cognition. Can't keep any money in your pocket. Folks will wonder, Captain, when folks from the ghetto complain about, you know, we need programs, we need money, what would you do with the money? What good is money? We see this with athletes and celebrities. They urinate this money away. That, I mean, you think sometimes, you know, where's the infrastructure that could be correct, that could be created with this money? Where's the stock investment that could be created with this money? Small businesses, internet businesses, all kinds of things could come forward if this man used a fraction of that money. Do you know what good he could have done for his community? If you have intelligence. Without intelligence, money means nothing. In a year, millions he can't account for. It's crazy. Any other thoughts on this Quezada case? I mean, what the hell?
A fool and his money will soon part. That is the statement. That is the phrase. And that phrase, that statement, has been around for a very, very long time. Since they've been doing money, it has been around. So there you have it. That's all.
All right. It's actually, let me see. I think I have a clip, if I can find it, of a French minister. Now we got to go back to the international racial thing.
Yeah.
It never stops. A French minister who was called a monkey in the French press by some conservative magazine. They were real slick about it. So we're back to calling esteemed, educated black folk monkeys. It doesn't stop. If it's not Obama, it's a French justice minister or someone who's newly elected to the Italian cabinet. So it doesn't stop. I can find this clip. I want our audience to always be kept aware of what's going on. No matter what happens, you're going to be caught. But it should be water off a duck's back. You start to see this ignorance clearly on both sides. I'm about to talk about the minstrel and the white racist, which Django did on the silver screen. You can't take out one without the other. You got to take out the white racist with the black minstrel. Anyway, this is courtesy of Euro News regarding the French justice minister who was called a monkey. Hold on.
The front page of a French weekly magazine which has led to a legal probe into alleged racism. It says, clever as a monkey, Taubira gets her banana back. Banana is French slang for smile. Christiane Taubira is the French justice minister. The court's preliminary investigation will be on a possible charge of racist insult, which is punishable by up to 6 months in jail and fines of up to €25,000. We must understand that those who are targeted by racist, anti-Semitic or xenophobic comments are not just targeted as people. Evidently, I feel for those who are, for those who appear to be. And in this regard, we must remind ourselves that it is not about giving an opinion. It is an offence which must be punished. Prime Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault urged a full inquiry into whether the magazine cover broke laws against hate speech. The government blamed the far right.
La une...
The front page from this newspaper of the far right, which is unfortunately well known, is revolting. It is also intolerable. Such attacks have not been limited to France. Cécile Kyenga, who was appointed to the Italian government earlier this year and was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo, has been the target of racial slurs since becoming integration minister.
All right, we're back. Kathy, you know, I don't have any feelings for this also. I mean, I think when I was much younger, I would be angry. But now I look at it with just a type I'm tired. I get physically tired and maybe saddened that folks are this primitive. I look at it that way. I'm so beyond that. I'm unaffected. I know some black folks become emotional when they hear these things. And it's not saying it's right, obviously. It's not right. But, you know, you're not a monkey. So that's because the white man calls you a monkey. That makes it so. I say this before. White people said that the world was flat. We know that not to be true. So continue excelling make your moves. It's my problem is that when we have folks that prove white folks right, I don't like that, when we conform to stereotypes. But the woman that was elected to the Italian government from Africa is an eye surgeon. So this woman is of high cognition from Africa, who is an eye surgeon, who's elected to the Italian parliament, but she's a monkey, though. Really? 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 Don't think so. So it doesn't mean, it just doesn't mean anything. I've lost my countenance for people that define me. I can care less because 2 + 2 would always be 4. You can say 5 all you want. Does it make it true? Captain, any thoughts before we move along?
No thoughts. You summed it up very well.
Pants, go to school. Don't do what Mr. Quesada did and urinate on your money. Excel. Marry your women. Marry your women. Maybe not impregnate them so much. And, laugh at those who call you a monkey as you drive away in your vintage Corvette. I'm just saying. All right. This is Purple Haze, Robert Randolph. See you on Wednesday, folks. It's been real.